turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. Let's just read verse 21, and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll move on. And Lord willing, finish this chapter. Not sure how long of a message it will be, because I preached half of it this morning already. And so, how about that? And anyway, we'll do what we can do with this tonight, but you know, the song that Jackie sang, of course, I don't believe she knew what I had in my notes, but the song, I think, went very well with the message about reflecting the glorious light of His redeeming grace. And I think that's the point of this passage of Scripture, that when we look at so often, all we see are the wives and the husbands. And yet God makes it very clear His intent goes far beyond just the marital relationship. So let's go ahead and read verse number 21, Ephesians chapter 5. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture. There's so much for us to learn and so many truths that we have difficulty comprehending. But Father, may Your Holy Spirit help us just now. Father, help us to yield our hearts to Thee and for Thy glorious work in our hearts. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, and we go all the way down into chapter number 6, we see the purpose of a Christian home. Now, in verse number, or in, look down in verse number 32, I'll explain what I just said ahead of time about what God's intent for this passage is. As He talks about the wives and the husbands, He says, now, this is what it's all about in verse 32. This is a great mystery. Now, the great mystery is the husband and wife relationship. He says, this is a great mystery, but. Now, don't miss that word, but. He says, that's where we're probably focusing on because that's what we understand. That's what we can touch and feel, and that's what we can see, and that's what our sight can perceive. And He says, as we read what God had Him write, He knew that that's where our focus would be. He says, but. That's not my intent at all. He says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. God says that that's His intent on this passage of Scripture. And as He wanted to describe the relationship that He has towards the church, He says, the best illustration I can use to communicate that, not just to God's people, but to the world about us. God's relationship with His church is the husband's relationship with his wife. He says, so this is the illustration I've used, but my intent, my purpose, is to speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, it's interesting that He would use that word, church. He doesn't say Christ and the believer or Christ and the Christian. He says the church. And I believe He's talking about the local church and all the churches around the world. And what it's doing is it's showing to us something that's lacking in our society and in our culture, and that's the emphasis on the local church. We think, well, they can come and go, but we're still here. And that's just not the way it is. And we think, well, we can just show up to this one and then go to that one and go to this one wherever we feel interested on that particular day. And we don't realize that God loves His church as He loves it. And we think that it's just an optional thing in the Christian life. And God wants us to know it's not an optional thing. And you take Amy out of my life, and I don't know, I just deflate and be a pool of water on the floor. You know, and what Christ is trying to tell us is we need Him that much, and we need His local church that much. And so there's that relationship that of necessity. Now, He doesn't need the church, but He loves the church. We're the ones who need to be in the church. And so let's go ahead and go back to verse number 21, and we'll go through this, but that's the whole point that I'm going to get to tonight. So I told you it from the beginning, so now if you feel like you need to doze off, it's warm in here. If you feel like you need to doze off, you can. Just wake up at the appropriate time at the end. Otherwise, get the lights when you do wake up and go home, all right? Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. As we consider this chapter or this passage of Scripture, so often we go right to the next verse where it tells the wives to submit, and we overlook this first verse as God leads it all off. There's to be a mutual submission. And I mentioned this morning, at least one thing that I always share when I do premarital counseling. Well, this is another one. The wives are to submit, but so are the husbands. There's to be that mutual submission so that you don't have a husband who's lording over his wife. And that doesn't mean that he just simply to say, I'm trying to think of a saying that one of the fellows in our other church said, and he had some property, about 25 acres I think it was, up in northern Michigan, just very remote, that he let us vacation on. But he named it, I don't remember, something like Yes Dear Acres or something like that. The husband's not to be that way. He's to have a backbone, and he's to provide leadership, and the rest of this passage is going to make that very plain. But it's not a beat the wife up as so many imagine it to be. And God makes it very clear here that it all begins with mutual submission, none ruling over the other, and using the other for their own gratification. And so this verse teaches mutual respect for one another. Now remember, he's talking about Christ and the church. When this comes to application of Christ and the church, our submission to our Savior is obvious. He is the head of our church. It's a little interesting to consider how it would go in the other direction. But I think what it is Christ is just saying that He respects the church. If you remember what He said to the disciples about binding things on earth will be bound in heaven. God respects the authority of the local church. And when they make a decision, as long as we're in accordance with God's will, God makes that stand. And so there's this mutual submission. Then let's move on to the wives. I was kind of amazed when I was reviewing this. It's actually, as I was going over it this afternoon, popped into my head. I didn't think about it before then. But I actually learned something when I was in the eighth grade. I took a journalism class. And I learned that when you write a story, there's five things you need to include. Anyone know what those five are? Exactly. Who, what, when, where, and how. And God addresses all of these as far as the wives submitting to the husband. Now, the who and the what are obvious. Wives are the who. The submit is the what. To yield and to obey. The exact same word is in the previous verse where it tells us to submit one ourselves. One, I'll say it a little slower and maybe get it out right. Submitting yourselves one to another. The wives are to submit to the husband in a very unique and particular way, more so than the husband to the wife. And it becomes obvious with what God says in the rest of the chapter. So the wives are to submit. That's the who and the what. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Not, and we talked about this morning, not to anyone else's husbands, but their own husband. I think the reason God says this is what God's trying to do is He's trying to maintain purity in the home. Purity in the home. Because, and I talk about it from time to time, you probably, some of you will remember a lady I used to work with, her name was Tony. And we worked side by side all day long, and I got an earful of everything that was wrong with her husband. And it drove me crazy. And I didn't want to sympathize with her, and so many men do, and they capture a woman's heart in that way, and she then begins to submit to them. Whoever this man is, that seems like the perfect husband. So my response was always, yep, that's just what I would do. That's what I just told her. Yep, that's exactly the way us men are. I'd do the same thing if I was in his shoes. And she'd just get so disgusted with me, she'd shake her head and I can just picture right now her face in my mind because she'd get that little scowl on her face like, man, I can't do anything with this kid. And women, you've got to be careful about complaining about your husband to other people. What God's purpose here about saying to your own husband, He says it repeatedly. Catch that phrase over and over and over again in the Scriptures about wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Every time He talks about it, it's your own husband. You got to be careful about that because you can have your heart drift from your husband and have allegiance to another. As a pastor, that's one of the things that maybe you might disagree with me, but I always will respect the authority of a husband over his wife. It's not my place to stand in your husband's place, ladies, and tell you what you need to do. Now, I'll give you advice as scriptural as I possibly can, but you need to be submissive to your own husband so that no other man captures your heart. Now, in this husband-wife relationship, as we know, it's an illustration of the relationship of God's love for the church. And in the husband-wife relationship, the wife is the example of the church, the example of you to God. And you're to illustrate this to the world around us so that they might grasp how much God loves His church and how much we, in turn, love Him. And so that purity of heart towards our own husband is a necessary element for the wives towards their husband so that the world can see our allegiance to our Savior, that there is no other, whether it be a false god, whether it be an individual, whether it be anything in this world, that there's nothing else to capture our heart. Now, one thing I appreciate about Don Miller, he always listens very closely to what I say. And this morning, he was listening very closely, and he caught something that I spoke incorrectly on. When I said that the children come first in a mother's life, and he came through the line, shouldn't it be God, and then the children, and then the husband? Well, I think the husband should probably be before the children, but the point is that the God should come first. And I told him, you're right. I misspoke. Because a wife or a mother cannot be a proper mother unless God comes first in her life. When God comes first, when we put Him first, then we become the mother we need to be. Then we become the wife that we need to be. And we need to demonstrate that to the world. Because in the world, they've got this husband and wife relationship all messed up. And it should be refreshing to them to see a godly relationship. But again, it pictures your relationship with your Savior, and the world needs to see that. Our children need to see that. Our grandkids need to see that. That we as wives, or let me say you as wives, lest you get any silly ideas here, that you as wives need to submit to your own husbands, allegiance to Him. Now, why is the wife to submit? Verse 23 tells us that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. God has put together a chain of command or a chain of authority. Let's just put it that way, more correct than a chain of command. It's a chain of authority. And he emphasized it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. You need not turn there. I'll just go ahead and read it. He says, "But I'd have you know that the head of every man is Christ." Just so us husbands don't get a big head. He says, look, you're going to have to give an answer, and you've got to follow and obey someone else just like your wife does. And so he says, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's the biblical, that's the scriptural chain of authority. The husband is to be the head of the wife, and that's why the wife is to submit. Now that's tempered with verse number 21, that we're to submit. So the husband is to, because of verse 21, to take into consideration in every decision he makes the good of his wife, the concerns of his wife, the desires of his wife. And so it's not just ruling with that iron fist, but it's ruling in love. And he's going to beat us up over that, fellas, in just a few minutes. And so we don't get a big head because our wives are supposed to be in submission, and we shouldn't have to pound our chest and beat our wives and say, you will submit to me. It shouldn't happen that way. If we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, our wives will desire, naturally, to submit. Okay, and so let's move along. Let's look at the husbands down in verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives. Now, I believe there's a reason why God is saying what He's saying, just as He said, submit yourselves under your own husbands to the wives. You see, us husbands need to make a decision. Our wives are the ones that we'll love. And what will happen in our lives is that there'll be other women that will catch our eye or that will flirt and try to capture our hearts. And so we've got to make that decision that the one that God brought in our lives that is ours is the one that we need to focus on and be faithful to her. It's our responsibility. It's our duty. Just as Christ loved the church. Now, He loves the world, but He certainly loves the lost man differently than He loves the saved man, doesn't He? He has an obligation to the child of God that he does not have to the lost man. And it's the same situation in our lives. The husband is, in this illustration he's giving of his love for the church, Christ and the church, back down in verse 32, the husband is the representative of our Savior. And so we as husbands are to demonstrate to the world Jesus' love for the church through our love for our wives. Now, how do you talk about your wife? Now, I like to tease way too much, and I like to say silly things, and I really try to not do it when I'm talking about Amy. I try not to make fun of her. I know some preachers will make all kinds of fun of their wives from the pulpit, and that's just not a good thing to do, especially if you like to sleep in your own bed and you like to have something other than burnt offerings for dinner. But there's a lot more to it than that. A lot more to it than that. Because we're to demonstrate to the world Christ's love for His church and His respect that comes from love to His church. And so that's why us husbands are commanded to love the church. Now, let's look into verse 26 and 27. There's four reasons why we're to love the church and how Christ loves the church. So in verse 26, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. In other words, he's talking about spiritual purity. He's saying that his responsibility, our Lord's responsibility to us as a church, is to maintain our spiritual purity, to keep us walking the straight and narrow path, the path that is written for us here in the Word of God, that scripturally we will be right on target. There's a lot of distractions out there, a lot of things that will draw us away. There's a very popular internet preacher that's drawing people away from the truth of God's Word, and specifically, primarily, he gets their attention in end times events. Who isn't interested in learning about end times events and the rapture? Well, he's got it all wrong, and he has just misconstrued what the Word of God says. But then he's also changed the way of salvation. He's completely taken repentance out of the way of salvation. You won't find that in the Word of God. In fact, you'll find the exact opposite. You see, it's not scripturally true. It's not spiritually pure. And God has given us His Scriptures because He loves us and wants us to stay spiritually pure. And that's what our desire and our goal of loving our wives, that's how we love our wives as husbands, to make sure they're in a good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. It just never ceases to amaze me when I hear of someone that leaves a good Bible-believing church and goes to a church that doesn't believe the Scriptures. They go to a church that doesn't teach that once you're saved, you're always saved. They go to a church that has a liturgical system of salvation. They go to a church that has a water baptism way of salvation. What's going on in that man's head? He's failed as a husband and has not demonstrated to the world the love of Christ for His church. All right, and so it's for spiritual purity. Look in verse number 27. That he might present it to himself, it's still talking about the Lord towards the church, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so the responsibility here is to cause us to be everything. Us husbands are to encourage our wives to be everything they can be for Christ. for spiritual improvement. Spiritual improvement. He says not just a church, but a glorious church. The church being everything that He intended it to be, described in the Word of God. Aren't you amazed when you read in those first chapters of the book of Acts and see what God accomplished through the church at Jerusalem? Did you know God wants to do the same thing here at Calvary Baptist Church in Bucyrus, Ohio, or at Covenant Baptist Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan? Or even at First Baptist in Hammond, Indiana? God wants to do the same thing. Now, what's holding them back isn't that the world has changed, that men are worse sinners. It's not holding them back because of governmental restrictions. It's not because the Word of God isn't powerful as it used to be. It's not because the Holy Spirit can't do what He used to do. It's not because of the end times and things are getting tougher. It's because God's people aren't living the way they ought to live. And when we live the way we ought to live, the power of God rests in our lives, and then our testimony has an effect. We've let the world come in, and when we let the world come in, the power of God cannot exist side by side with that. You see, He wants us to be a glorious church, and He's done everything He can to allow us to become that glorious church. That makes a difference. There are churches that are doing it that haven't had to compromise. They don't allow the world in. When Brother Scott was on vacation, he went to a church that I'm familiar with, a pastor who I respect greatly, and he said, can you give an estimate what they're running? It's about 500. And they've got a real problem because they just don't have enough room in their auditorium. And they had a groundbreaking. They purchased, was it 60 acres? 80 acres. So that they can build a church big enough to hold them because they're growing. And that's what God wants for all of His churches, that it might be a glorious church. And so as we bring this illustration into the home, the husband is to encourage his wife that she spiritually can be everything that she possibly can be for God, encouraging her to serve the Lord and helping her and equipping her just as God does the church, and thereby showing to the world the love of Christ for His church. Well, let's look in verses 28, 29, and 30. We see a third thing about husbands loving their wives. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth. Some of us do that a little bit extra, don't we? Nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, who are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And so what he's talking about here is, as fellows, we do everything we can for our bodies, don't we? To take care of ourselves. And not trying to sound wrong with this and what I say or self-conceited or anything like that, but guys, we love ourselves, don't we? Ladies, if you're honest, so do you. You love yourselves too. Well, what God is telling us, husbands, if you don't love your wives, you're not loving yourselves. Now, he mentions later, we looked at verse 32 a number of times, this is a great mystery. Well, that mystery is that when we get married, two become one. It's a mystical relationship or union that we can't see with our eyes, we can't touch with our hands. None of our five senses can perceive of this mystical union of two becoming one. And nevertheless, God says this is the truth. Two become one. And therefore, if we disrespect or mistreat our wives, guess what? We've done it to ourselves. We've done it to ourselves. And so if we truly care for ourselves, we will truly care for our wives, just as Christ truly cared and continues to care for the church. But in verse 29, he talks about nourishing and cherishing. Nourish means to feed. This speaks of meeting the physical needs. Now, back in verse 26, we talked about meeting the spiritual needs. Actually, 26 and 27. But in nourishing, talks about meeting the physical needs. And cherisheth means to treat someone gently because of love. And it speaks of meeting emotional needs. As husbands, we're supposed to do that. We don't always understand what those needs are, but we're to do our best to meet those because we are an example of Christ to the world of how much He loves His church. And He does meet those needs because He does understand those needs. Verses 31 and 32 talk about that supernatural unity I just spoke of, and so we need not repeat that. And we can move right on to the conclusion of verse 33. Nevertheless, even though he was talking about his relationship with the church, he says, nevertheless, even though I'm just using this as an illustration, he says, don't make the mistake of thinking it's not our responsibility, that it's not our obligation as Christians to do this. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so he says, even though the illustration is given, the illustration is taken from the Christian's responsibility, the purpose of the Christian home is to glorify God and show the world how much He loves them and how much He loves His church. Next week we'll look at the home in regards to children and perhaps look at responsibility and employment. But how is your home this evening? Wives, have you been submitting to your own husband? To your own husband. Men, have you been loving your wives as you love your own selves? Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart to answer that question truthfully and honestly. Father, we're grateful for your word. Thank you that we have the privilege to be used of you in this world, to be a testimony, as an illustration, as husband and wife. Father, help us to fulfill the responsibility that is ours in order that the world might see Christ through our home and see what they desire to have and be drawn to you as Savior. Speak to our hearts now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.